When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Tonight, last minute deal between finance minister and minority leader on tax exemptions allows the passage of a $300 million loan the NDC MPs had vowed to block.
If you want us to support this, I urge you to seize this moment, and withdraw these tax exemptions. And if you withdraw these tax exemptions, I will support you. I will support you to make sure you get this loan.
We have details on Parliament in the day. Former Minority Chief Whip said government should have been mourning the later Deputy Finance Minister instead of pushing loans through Parliament.
Today is not such a day for us to be doing this. Why? A day after the death of our colleague, we are standing here and we are screaming at each other. And the loan is coming from the very ministry that our colleague has lost his life. How sensitive are we to each other?
Borrowing $300 million while giving away $449 million in tax exemptions. That is what government was determined to push through Parliament today, but met stiff resistance from the NDC minority. In the end, a last-minute agreement between the Finance Minister, Dr. Mohamed Amin Adam, and Minority Leader, Dr. Kesila Tofose, allowed the immediate passage of the $300 million loan to support the 2024 budget. Now, the NDC MPs had vowed to oppose the loan every step of the way, mainly because of Ghana's ballooning debt stock and also because of the mini tax exemptions request that the government had placed before the House for consideration. Now, listen to the minority leader, Dr. Kesila Tofose, making the case for his side.
At this House, our minister responsible for finance, representing this government, has submitted to the Finance Committee for Finance Committee, Mr. Speaker, to exempt them in taxes. Mr. Speaker, our position is simple. In good conscience, in the interest of our country, as patriotic as I am, I cannot support this loan. Mr. Speaker, I cannot support this loan unless, Mr. Speaker, this tax exemption is withdrawn. Mr. Speaker, if they withdraw these tax exemptions, all of us, seeing that this government has changed course, will support this loan. Mr. Speaker, apart from that, let everybody know, let it be recorded here, that the NDC minority today stood with the people of Ghana. And we've shown to the people of Ghana that if you are not patriotic, we are patriotic and we care about our country. Mr. Speaker, I'm scandalized. I am disappointed, Mr. Speaker. Why am I saying so? I say so because, Mr. Speaker, in difficult times, when your country is in crisis, when your country is going down, you take steps to recover it. But, Mr. Speaker, our colleagues, this government is behaving as if we are in normal times. Mr. Speaker, we are not in normal times. The economy is going down by the day. Let that notice be made clear to you. That, Mr. Speaker, we are not in normal times. The only time that, Mr. Speaker, we can fix this is by signaling to the international community and even to ourselves that this government has changed course. But unfortunately, from what we have seen, it's more of the same. So, Minister, I want to urge you, if you want us, Minister of Finance, if you want us to support this, I urge you to seize this moment, and withdraw these tax exemptions. And if you withdraw these tax exemptions, I will support you. I will support you to make sure you get this loan. But until you withdraw this tax exemption, the NDC members of Parliament will never support this loan. Because, Mr. Speaker, you have shown that you are being wasteful. Mr. Speaker, that is our position. Because $449 million in tax exemption, Mr. Speaker, is a bit too much. And just, Mr. Speaker, in doing so, we oppose this vehemently. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Well, he opposed it vehemently, but also mounting a vehement defense of the tax exemptions was the Deputy Finance Minister, Benos Asario, also on the floor.
So if you are telling us today that what can we do to improve the economy, and government is saying, through the 1D1F, these are some of the things I want to do to make sure these companies stand the test of time and be able to work hard to employ more people and also to create the right and conducive environment for all of us. You say withdraw this. This is not what is in contention today, Mr. Speaker. We are talking about a 300 million IDA facility. Again, Mr. Speaker, let me just mention a few. We all know Standard Ghana Limited. We came here just a few months ago to give them some waivers to enable them sell, produce sanitary towels without taxes. And so my people here, I'm really surprised at the way they are behaving, because they are the same people who told government take off or waive off taxes on parts. And today, a part manufacturing company is being given a tax waiver, and you say you have a problem with that. I mean, we have to be straight. We have to be direct and tell the Ghanaians the truth, Mr. Speaker. So these tax waivers are actually for local manufacturing companies. Mr. Speaker, we were here. I was in this house when my colleagues on the other side did not even bother to bring waivers for Jata Cement. Did not even bother to bring waivers for Tank Palace. Yet they went ahead and gave them waivers because we all felt they were Ghanaian companies under the GIPC Act. We all felt they were Ghanaian companies, which, if they should prosper, would help all of us. And so here we are. Now we've brought all these things to Parliament. We want to introduce transparency and accountability. And they said they have a problem. And because of that, they are not going to pass. I mean, we are not going to pass support that we said we're going to use for the 2024 budget.
Parliamentary correspondent Kweku Asante is with me in the studio. Kweku, so what's this loan about?
So, $300 million facility, the main idea behind the loan is to support the 2024 budget. And if you go through the committee's report, it says that the Finance Ministry have explained that the facility is part of general budget support and will be applied to finance critical aspects of the 2024 budget. The committee further noted that the facility constitutes IDA's budget support commitments to Ghana for the period 2023 to 2025. The minority, they don't have so much issue with the terms because it looks good. The repayment period is 25 years. They have a grace period of 5 years, a maximum 1.5% per annum on unwithdrawn financing balance. So those terms look good. And the minority said they were not so much opposed to it. But later we heard from Eric Opoku, who said, despite all these nice things in there, the government has shown its way that it's borrowing too much and that his colleagues did not need to support this $300 million facility.
They will bring the law here, will speak against it, they will defend it like they are doing today, use their numbers to pass it. Eventually, Ghana's desktop reached unsustainable levels and Ghana became a laughing stock in the international market, to the extent that because of our huge debt, we have implemented debt exchange program. Mr. Speaker, we have filed for insolvency. We are broke. Ghana is broke. And today, you are borrowing again. You are borrowing 300 million. And you are saying that without the 300 million, we cannot survive. In 2021, 2022, they borrowed 77 billion from Bank of Ghana, an equivalent of $8 billion. $8 billion in 2 years. Nothing happened to the economy. Nothing happened to the economy. No change. We are still suffering. And now you brought e-levy here. Oh, with e-levy, the whole nation will change. Let's pass e-levy. We'll fix all our roads. We'll buy you fertilizer. We'll bring you water, electricity, everything. At the end of the day, nothing happened. And today you are here defending 300 million.
Honorable Eric,
as a panacea to
thank
our
you.
Look at what you have done to the
thank
nation.
You very much.
The government you have done to our economy. Mr. Speaker, in the interest of the upcoming generation, we must put an end to the borrowing.
Thank you.
You borrow
thank
too you. Much.
Tensions are very high, and somehow the death of the Deputy Finance Minister, John Kuma, somehow became part of the conversation.
Yes, Evans. In fact, at some point, because the minority has signaled they were going to vote against it, it became a numbers game. The appointment committee sitting that was ongoing had to be truncated so that MPs had to come to the floor to actually show up the numbers on both. And you hear the minority leader shouting at the very top of his voice. So tensions were high. NPP MPs clad in black, most minority MPs also doing the same. And Muntaka Mubarak is of the opinion that today of all day, it's not a day government should have been pushing this through, especially on the back of the death of their own colleague.
It is on this that I want to plead with the leadership of majority, together with the Minister of Finance, simply withdraw the tax waivers and let's pave way for this unanimous approval of this. Because, Mr. Speaker, I'm sorry to say this. On any day, we will have this argument and shout and scream, but not today. Today is not such a day for us to be doing this. Why? A day after the death of our colleague, we are standing here and we are screaming at each other, and the Lord is coming from the very ministry that our colleague has lost his life. How sensitive are we to each other? Yet we are here screaming at each other and talking about this law. So simply, Minister of Finance, withdraw those tax waivers so that we can unanimously as a group approve this, so that you can take your time and look at all the tax waivers, turn them into tax credits and bring them back. That one becomes neater. But now you are saying that we should give you this and then later you come and do the withdrawal. Where do you hear that? So simply withdraw the tax waivers and then we unanimously support you to get this loan.
So who blinked first? Well, the government withdraw?
Government did not. In fact, there were some talks going on between the majority leader himself and his colleague on the other side. Eventually, some talk had to come to the agreement that the minister promises that in the next 2 weeks, he's going to rationalize every single request that is currently before parliament, take out those ones that he thinks are unnecessary. Eventually, that was amenable to the minority leader himself. His backbenchers were not in support of that, but that paved the way for that. So listen to the minister making those commitments on the floor.
The 2024 budget through this house allocated resources to different projects and programs for the year. And so what this money will do is to come to the pool, as we know, to support the implementation of these programs for the year. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to also correct a statement, I think, on page 7, to the effect that the Ministry of Finance is preparing about 7 billion Ghana cedis of exemptions to be brought to Parliament for consideration. Mr. Speaker, I'm not aware of this, and I'm not preparing exemptions of about 7 billion Ghana cedis for consideration by Parliament. But, Mr. Speaker, having said this, I've taken note of the concerns of honourable members, particularly my friends from the other side, regarding the exemptions, the tax exemptions for some projects. And I want to assure them that I will take a look at these exemptions, I will rationalize it, I will review it, and I will come back in 2 weeks to report to Parliament. And I hope that when I come, honourable members will support me in whatever rationalization we are going to do. Mr. Speaker.
Honourable Minister, have you finished?
Mr. Speaker, based on what I have just said, I want to appeal to members to support this facility. It is budget support. It will help us implement the programs of government for job creation, so we can also be able to take care of the vulnerable and the poor in our society. So I thank you very much for the opportunity.
So this has been passed now?
This has been passed, $300 million approved by Parliament so that the finance ministry could draw down and support the 2024 budget. But the minister is promising that in the next 2 weeks, he's going to come to the House, rationalize some of the requests that are currently before the House. We know the Minister for Trade and Industry, KT Amon, has been very particular about that, having been on the floor so many times asking Parliament to take some urgent actions on those requests.
Thankfully, let's bring in Benjamin Kpodo. He's a member of the Finance Committee on the minority side. Also joining us is the Trade Minister, KT Hammond, who will also be speaking to Professor John Gachi, who is the Dean of the UCC School of Business. Mr. Kpodo, let me start with you, because this is fundamentally a position that a minority has held for some time now. And you back down merely because a minister gave you a promise.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Evans, and good evening to your listeners. The issues are basically three. One, the money, our concern is that the money is not a grant. It is not a gift. It is a loan. So it is going to add to our public debt stock. That is our concern. Now, we have been taken out of the international market because we have borrowed too much. So that is one reason we are not agreeing to the loan. Secondly, the purpose for which the money is to be used, they just described it as general budget support. Now, when it is described like that, it lends itself to abuse, particularly in this year where we are going to do elections. The loan will be taken, but its application may be abused. That is our other concern. Then thirdly, the $449 million which we are giving out, you know, just do very simple arithmetic. You have $449 million. You are giving it out and you are going to borrow $300 million.
So you're borrowing $300 million, but you're giving away $449 million.
Exactly.
In tax exemption. It comes back to the question, Mr. Bodo.
Does it really make sense?
Yeah, it comes back to the question. It doesn't make sense to you, yet you agree to pass the loan.
Yes, we didn't agree. In fact, if Kweku said we agreed, you may have listened to how the vote was taken. There was a very big no from our side, but the speaker insisted that the eyes had it. So it wasn't just that easy. In fact, I thought that the Ministry of Finance should have even been smarter. If you look at the budget, 2024 budget, page 298, they have listed a number of projects there which are to be funded from concessional loans. All that they needed to do was to allocate amounts, the $300 million, to those projects. Then they could convince us that it was for good purpose. But they failed to do that. So this promise that they are going to review the tax exemptions is only to answer one portion of the question.
Okay.
The issue still remains, what are they going to use the money for?
Okay, so stay with me.
General budget support.
Yeah. It's vague enough. Stay with me, Mr. Kwodo. Thankfully, the Trade Minister has announced earlier, it would be Mr. Katie Hammond. Mr. Hammond, the much of the $449 million in tax exemptions we've heard from the minority side will go to support one district, one factory initiatives under your own watch. But how do you justify borrowing $300 million while giving away $449 million in tax waivers? Hello, Mr. Hammond. Okay. We'll try and see if we can get him on the line, because that is an area that he directly supervises. But I have with me Professor John Gachi. Prof, this is definitely a problem, is it not? I mean, the minority side, from what we hear, Mr. Kwodo says they did not necessarily support it, but they resisted it, and yet it has been passed. Do you see a problem there? The finance ministry says they need the tax exemptions to incentivize businesses to set up and create jobs. Is that a good enough justification?
Well, I think the minority has engaged in unproductive, unbeneficial compromise in the passing or in the agreement to consider this request to borrow and to grant such a huge amount of tax exemption. I believe we all do know that the reason for tax exemption is for the entity to engage in activity that will promote growth of the economy. One, number two, to ensure technology transfer. Then number three, to create jobs. Now, since we have been granting tax exemption, I've not seen Parliament done assessment of the tax exemption that have been granted previously to come to terms with the reality whether those targets have been achieved by the tax exemption granted. So Parliament is working without the basic, you know, elements that are needed for Parliament to continue to grant that.
Especially when we know that it is part of the IMO program for us to review our tax exemption regime. Please stay with me because Katie Hammond is back on the line now. He's a trade minister.
I've not finished my point.
I know you haven't. Just give me a second. Just a second. I just wanted to get a bit more information that can inform the process and the conversation going forward. Mr. Hammond, thank you very much for joining us once again. I lost you briefly. This is 449 million. What is it for, the tax exemption?
Sorry, you're speaking with me?
Yes, Mr. Hammond, yes.
Your line is a little faint.
Okay.
But I can barely hear you.
Can you hear me?
Well, not too good, but let's see.
Yeah, I'm asking
what was the question again?
The $449 million tax exemption. What is it for?
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know your figure. Where are you getting that from?
Well, it was on the floor of Parliament today. It's a matter of public record.
No. I was in Parliament. There was nothing like that on the floor of Parliament.
Atuforsing, the minority leader, mentioned it on the floor.
Right. The fact that Atuforsing says that doesn't mean that it was on the floor. My ministry has submitted quite a few requests to the Minister of Finance to ensure that there are these approvals. By Parliament. You recall that in the President's State of Nations address, he did touch on the matter that for a couple of years now, Parliament has not approved any of these requests. Look, when the government decided on this industrialization agenda, for that matter, the flagship project of 1D1F, a policy statement was sent to Parliament, which approved of it, in which was indicating that the companies which are involved in this and which import certain items were going to be granted some facilities. These are the companies, I think there are about 100 or so companies which have made submissions for these exemptions on some of the equipment, some of the items that they bring into the country. We at the ministry simply process these facilities, the applications, and then submit them to the Minister of Finance. The Minister of Finance, which will, in the fullness of time, send this to Finance Committee. It's not just a ritual regime. Trade Ministry sends this to Finance, and Finance census to Parliament, and that is it. No, it is for a good reason that these applications are submitted to the Finance Committee of Parliament for pruning and for verification. I, for a long time, was a member of the Finance Committee. I, for a long time, have been complaining about the fact that the Finance Committee was checking its responsibility and was not taking up this matter. Finance Committee had not addressed the matter. It hadn't reported to the plenary, so there was no way we could determine how much is it that fell within the ambit of the policy that had been stipulated by government. Atuforsing today was grandstanding and talking about the fact that there was about 400 and whatever exemptions that were given away, and for that matter, he wouldn't approve the facility of 300 and whatever million. The finance minister explained that the dynamics were different. This was a concessional loan, with a long gestation period and grace period, and the interest rate alone was really infinitesimal. I'm trying to explain all that to the House. And then on the back of that, I also explained that we must accept. We must conceptualize the whole idea of granting exemptions. What is it that it's meant to achieve in terms of our industrialization process?
Okay,
that's what happened in the House.
I need some clarity, though. So you challenged the $449 million figure that has been put out today. So what is
He put it up there, and he put it up there. The Finance Committee had not reported to the plenary. So I'm not sure where he got the figure.
But the request, you say, originated from your ministry, true?
Well, yes, my data for my ministry to the Minister of Finance and then Finance Committee of Parliament to look through the papers that have been presented.
So the specifics that you originated and put together for the Finance Ministry's consideration, how much does it come down to?
120 or 110 of those items. I mean, I'm not sure if you recall the specific figure. I don't know where he was quoting the 420.
Yeah, but if you're not sure how much, you cannot question.
But I do know that it's not up to the. It may be more, it may be less than the number. But you see, as I said, the fact that we presented, the Finance Ministry would have gone through the details, would then expect our committee in Parliament to go through the details. If we presented, it's just like going through bills. Government departments, whatever department will bring a bill, thinking that this is what they would want to pass as law. Parliament sits and says, no, we can't do this. We've gone through that. We can't do this. And then it cannibalizes it. In the end, approves what it can.
And that's what
was submitted to them. And that's what the committee was supposed to be doing, which the committee didn't do.
Yeah, and this is a committee chaired by the majority side, one of your own. I mean, if they haven't done it, clearly there are issues there. They don't trust that what you're putting forward.
Well,
it's
a different matter altogether, but I would have thought that at least the committee would have. I'm not so sure about the word I was going to use, but I had in mind a word like decency and then a sense of responsibility. Our committee should have a sense of responsibility to at least sit on it and report to Parliament that we do not agree to this, we do agree to this, we struck out this. And the fullness of time, there will be sanity in what has been presented, and then. We at the ministry would see our way clearly out there.
Okay. Professor Gachi, now the minister is explaining that this is worth it. You've heard him. You stand by your point you're making earlier.
Even if tax exemption is $50 million, even if it is $10 million, the principle must continue. So, for example, what is the percentage of contribution to job creation for the entity that we are granting the tax benefit? What is the contribution and the quantum of technology transfer we are going to benefit from for which we should grant tax exemption? So these are the assessments that I think Parliament should do, or Parliament should collect from Finance Ministry, for which it becomes necessary
to grant tax exemption.
If not so, we are not sensitive to what the public have been complaining about regarding tax exemption. We should look at tax exemption as a way of government supporting private entities, whether domestic.
Hello, Benjamin Kodo. Okay, we lost him on this. Thank you very much, Mr. Kodo, and also Professor Gachi, who joined us with his thoughts there. Mr. Katie Hammond also joined us with his thoughts on this particular subject. And this is one that we'll watch very closely. The finance minister has assured that he will return in 2 weeks with a rationalized tax exemption bill to Parliament for consideration. We'll keep a close eye on that and update you once we know more.